Well, it's a time of year when we hear lots of stories about all sorts of manner of things. And it's also a time when we get to be children for just a few moments at Christmas. Much to the delight of your very tired rector, I was given a wonderful children's story to read by the Robinsons. And much to my delight, and it will be yours, Margaret has agreed to, or has offered, to come and share the story with us today as a special treat on this Sunday after Christmas. So, Margaret, if you missed the 7 o'clock service, you'll understand why this is a treat. Thank you.
A long time ago, more than 150 years ago, in fact, just after the French Emperor Napoleon had fought wars all over Europe, a very special mouse was born in Oberndorf, a small village high in the Tyrolean mountains of Austria. He was one of a large family, and naming them all was a big chore for the parents. They named them Fritzi and Mitzi after aunts, and Franz and Joseph after uncles. They had almost run out of names before they noticed the quiet one sitting silently in a corner. "Well," said Father Mouse, who had been keeping count of them all on the links of his fine gold chain, "and what will this one be?" This little mouse seemed to confuse them all. He always seemed to be listening to something. Mother Mouse patted the little silent one on the head. "Let's call him John," she said. "He's such a gentle little fellow. The name seems to suit him somehow." "John," said his father. "John. Very well, John it shall be." John, as he was now called, was quiet for a reason. He seemed to be always listening, and so he was. One day he awakened to find the air full of a beautiful sound. Although John did not know what a church bell was, it was the ringing of the bell in the nearby church that so filled him with delight. All tumbled together with his brothers and sisters, he snuggled closer to his mother and listened as hard as he could. Shortly after, the bell stopped. Then he heard other lovely sounds, different ones all blend together. Joanne felt as though he were floating on a cloud. This was the first time he heard the organ in the church and the people singing happily. Joanne never forgot it. He grew bigger and was allowed to play in the meadows with his brothers and sisters. He ran and leaped and scurried through the grass as merrily as any of them. But there was one thing that would stop Joanne in his memory games, and that was music. He loved music, all kinds of music. Whenever the deep voices of the great mountain horn sang out across the valleys and across the rock cliffs, or when the happy people in the mountain meadows yodeled their echoing melodies to each other across the way, Joanne sat very still and listened with all his might. His ears stretched up as far as possible, as if to take in all the music. His whiskers were very still. His bright little eyes glowed with happiness. He was happiest at the band concerts, where he could listen for hours to the grand oompa-pahs of the big brass horns and the tinkle of the glockenspiel. It was at one of these concerts that something happened which changed Joanne's whole life. "Oomph," said a gentle voice right behind Joanne, but he didn't hear it. He was listening to a very entrancing part of the music in which the flute sounded like a thousand birds singing together in the forest. "Rumph," said the gentle voice again, and this time Johann did hear it. The band had stopped to rest, and the musicians were mopping their brows with their red handkerchiefs, catching their breath and smiling at the applause of the delighted audience. Johann turned around very quickly to see who had made the noise. An old mouse with a kindly twinkle in his eyes was standing right behind him. He was very old. His whiskers were all white and drooped at the ends. His brown fur was full of silver-gray hairs, and he peered down at Johann through wire-rimmed spectacles, much mended, perched far down on his nose. About his neck was a shabby muffler, so faded it was hard to tell that it had once been a jolly red. "I beg your pardon," asked John, for he was a very well brought up little mouse. "You must be the one they call John," the old mouse said in a quivery squeak. "Yes, I am, sir," said Joanne politely. "I knew it, because you were listening to the band so intently," said the old mouse. "I hear you love music." "Oh, yes, sir, I do," said Joanne. "There is nothing that makes me feel good all over like music." "Ah, yes, I know what you mean," quivered the old mouse. "I, too, have loved music all my life. My name is Victor, and I would like you to hear some of my special music."
"Oh, I would like that very much, if you please, sir," said Joanne. "When can I hear it?"
"Let me see," said Victor, tapping his cane on the ground. "Can you come tonight around sunset?"
"Of course," said Joanne instantly.
"Very well," said Victor. "Meet me right here." Joanne was on needles and pins the rest of the day. He could hardly wait. "What can this new kind of music be like? I wonder where it is," he asked himself. But at last it was sunset, and Joanne scurried to the now deserted bandstand in the village square. Victor was waiting. "Come with me," he said. "It is not very far." And politely keeping pace with the slow steps of old Victor, Joanne crossed to the other corner of the square where he had never been. Joanne kept thinking, "Oh, I do wish Victor could walk faster." But being very well mannered, he managed to keep his patience in check until they crept through a hole in the outer wall of a building. As soon as he was inside, Joanne recognized the beautiful soft music he had heard somewhere before. "What is it?" he squeaked with excitement. Old Victor smiled gently. "That is the schoolmaster, Herr Franz Xavier Gruber," he said. "He loves music too, and he comes to the church almost every day to practice and compose music."
"Let us go closer," begged Joanne.
And the two crept quietly into the dark at the back of the church, well out of the light of the circle of light shed by the candles on the organ. Joanne had never heard anything as lovely as the music from the organ. It was all the instruments in the band, the mountain horns, the yodeling, all at once. And as the music poured out of the ring of candlelight, Joanne closed his eyes in happiness. When he opened them again, he noticed for the first time a beautiful lady, just dimly seen outside the light. Her face, perfectly still, seemed to be listening to the music too, and loving it as much as Joanne. She seemed to be looking right at him, and he felt as if she knew how wonderful the music sounded to him. When the organist blew out the candles and left, Joanne was fairly bursting with questions. "Do you have this all to yourself every day?" he asked Victor.
"Of course," said Victor.
"Well, nearly every day. Often the villagers come to listen and sing with the music. That's when the bell rings." The bell! Suddenly, Joanne knew that he had heard that beautiful sound before. "And the beautiful lady?" asked Joanne. "Is she here every day?" Victor wrinkled his brow. "The beautiful? Oh, you mean the wooden angel?" He chuckled a little squeaky kind of chuckle. "She is carved from wood. She never moves, and she was here long before I became the church mouse."
"A church mouse?" asked Joanne. "Is that what you are? What is a church mouse, anyways? Please tell me."
Drawing himself up as tall as his old legs would let him, Victor looked very serious. "A church mouse," he said, "is a very special kind of mouse. He lives in a church because he wants to. He is very poor, the poorest of all mice, because there is very little food in a church. In the winter, the church is very cold most of the week. It's dark and lonely. for the carved angel never speaks. Then why would anyone want to be a church mouse? Asked John, his whiskers quivering with curiosity, his bright little eyes snapping with eagerness. Why, you ask? Said old Victor rather snappily. I should think you would know. Only the pastor, Herr Gruber, and I are here every day. I hear every note of music played on the organ. Wouldn't you think that was worth it? Oh, yes, said Johann. I am sorry, I didn't think. To be near the music all the time would be wonderful. Ah, oh, said old Victor with a deep sigh. You love music just as I do. I came here many years ago, and soon I must die. But then, he said with a gentle smile, I would not have wanted to live any other way. Johann said a polite goodbye and was delighted when old Victor invited him to come back any time and visit. Johann vowed he would come soon and often. John made his way home much more slowly than his usual scurry, and at supper that night he was unusually quiet. It was a good supper. John's family lived in the cellar of the Burgermeister's home, and the food was always of the best and plentiful. Are you sick, John? Asked his mother anxiously. Were you naughty today, John? Asked his father, frowning sternly. Or did you fall in love with that cute little mouse next door? Giggled his sister Antoinette, who was always teasing. No, said Johann solemnly, not raising his eyes. I went to visit the church today with old Victor, and I have decided what I want to become.
Oh, said his father with a chuckle, and what is that?
A church mouse, if you please, Johann murmured through his whiskers.
A church mouse? Roared his father as loudly as any mouse can roar.
A church mouse? Shrieked his mother, hiding her face in her apron. A church mouse? Chorused his brothers and sisters before turning to peals and squeals of laughter.
Yes, said Johann more firmly, looking at all of them defiantly. I want to be a church mouse.
But why? Protested his father. Church mice do nothing. They have nothing. They are the poorest of all mice.
No, said Johann, his whiskers quivering with his own bravery. They have something. They have music from the organ every day. You won't get fat on music, said his father grimly. I tried the music manuscript once, very dry and not much taste.
No, father, said John earnestly. I listen to the music. It makes me feel good all over. The argument went on for so long and so loudly that the Burgermeister angrily put his cat down in the basement.
That will quiet those pesky mice, he said.
Time went by, and there were many more arguments about John's idea, but nothing could change his mind, and he went often at dusk to sit happily with old Victor and listen to the organ. Still, it was summer, and Johann liked to scamper in the long grass and the flowers and play with his brothers and sisters, too. In the autumn, when the trees were beginning to lose their leaves and the grass was becoming dry and yellow in the mountain meadows, he heard that old Victor, whom he had not visited for many days, was dead. Oh dear, thought John, now there is no church mouse. And he immediately decided to take old Victor's place. Of course, there was another big family argument, but they soon saw that John's mind was made up. His mother made him a good lunch with a piece of cheese in it so big he was scarcely able to carry it. She cried and had to wipe her eyes with the corner of her checkered apron.
His father harumphed a lot.
But he did give Johann a thick, warm jacket and a big, bright green woolen muffler, then wiped his glasses on his handkerchief, blew his nose loudly, and patted Johann on the head. All his brothers and sisters kissed Joan tearfully as he went off to make his home in the church. After he had been in the church mouse for 2 months, Joan knew that every word old Victor had told him was true. It certainly was cold in the wintertime. There was never very much to eat, for the pastor was poor, and there were not many crumbs left from his table. The fine lunch his mother had packed was gone after the first week, although he had tried to nibble at it just a little at a time. His warm jacket soon became threadbare, and his fine muffler lost much of its bright color, as well as a good deal of its warmth. But there was the music. Franz Xaver Gruber, the young schoolmaster, composed marvelous music and played on the organ beautifully. And there was the carved angel. Somehow, Joanne and the angel had become friends. Joanne always felt the angel was looking directly at him with such a kindly look. He knew that in her wooden heart she loved him and was glad he had come to her church. Now, as Christmas approached in the year 1818, the Tyrol was very deep in snow. It was a difficult winter for everyone, and Joanne didn't even find bits of candy or sweet cookies that the children sometimes dropped. And although Joanne's heart was happy with the choir rehearsals of Christmas songs and Herr Gruber's practices for the organ recital he gave every year, he was hungry. One night, while behind the organ, almost fainting with hunger, he thought, "If I could only nibble a little of the leather from the organ's bellows, I would survive until Christmas." John knew that at Christmas all the people made a special effort to bake something nice for the pastor, and he knew that he would get his share. But John needed something now, or he would not live to hear the Christmas music or share the pastor's gifts from the villagers. So he nibbled just a little bit on the leather. In his hunger, he returned the next night to nibble a little more on the bellows leather, and the next night, and the next, until one night the organ would not make a sound when Herr Gruber played it. He looked the organ over carefully. "Oh," he cried, "a mouse has gnawed the bellows. We must send at once for Karl Moracher." Herr Moracher was a famous organ builder and mender who lived in a nearby village. Herr Gruber rushed off to tell the pastor, but the kindly pastor just looked at him sadly. "Alas, Herr Gruber," he said, "with the hunger and poverty which has been our lot since the wars, there is no money left. All our parish funds have been spent to help the poor. We have nothing left for things like fixing organs." "This is terrible," said Herr Gruber. "The people always look forward to the music at Christmas. It helps them forget their poverty and the war. It makes them think of the one who fed the poor and who was called the Prince of Peace." John heard every word of the conversation. His heart almost broke with shame. He crouched in a corner and trembled with dread, thinking of what he had done. He dared not look the angel in the face. He was sure she would see there the sorrow he knew she felt for his weakness. "I have failed," thought Joanne miserably, with tears trickling down his whiskers. "I am not a good church mouse." And then he heard the pastor say, "Wait, Herr Gruber, I have an idea. I have just recently written a humble poem about the way I feel on Christmas Eve. Perhaps you could compose some music to fit the words. We can teach it to the choir, and you can accompany it on your guitar. Perhaps with a new song, the people will not mind if the Christmas Eve program is different from other years." "I will try, Pastor," said Herr Gruber. "The time is very short, but I will gather some choir members in my home where it is warmer and try." The days passed quickly as the year moved towards Christmas. The pastor was so busy with the preparations, he hardly touched his simple meals. So there was plenty for Joan to eat. But Joan could hardly touch the food. He was so miserable over the trouble he had caused and the fact that he might have spoiled the whole Christmas music program. He crept around the church close to the wall. He dared not lift his eyes to the angel. And then it was Christmas Eve. The bell in its steeple rang out its happy call across the snow. But in its corner, Joan cringed with shame. The bell was calling everyone to witness his terrible deed. The people of Obendorf crowded the church. They did not look as happy as they usually did. They knew about the organ, and they did not expect to enjoy the Christmas music in the old way. The pastor spoke to the people. "My friends," he said, "you all know what has happened to the organ." In his dark corner, Joan shivered. But the pastor went on with a smile. "Our dear friend Herr Gruber has composed some music for a little Christmas poem of mine. We will sing it and pray our humble offering will be acceptable to God." Herr Gruber struck a chord on his guitar, and the choir began to sing. Slowly at first, and then rapidly, a look of delight spread over the faces of the villagers. Even more slowly, the music pierced the blanket of misery in which Joan huddled. "Why," he thought, "it's beautiful. It's the most beautiful music I have ever heard." And the choir sang, "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright." Joan raised his eyes to the angel, and it seemed as if a special warm light, not just the reflection of the candles, glowed all around her. For the angel was looking right at him, and he thought she smiled. And he seemed to hear the angel say in a sweet voice, "Little Joan, because of you, the whole world will have a special song of praise to sing at Christmas." And so it came to be. As the music rose from the church and floated out over the glittering moonlight snow of the Tyrol, Herr Morocco fixed the organ and took the manuscript of the new song in part payment. From musician to musician, it spread around the world. It rings out every Christmas in the hearts and in the voices of men everywhere. But every day of his life, it rang with a special joy in the heart of a little mouse named Johann in the village of Obendorf, high in the Austrian Tyrol.